Father, as always, I thank you for the entrance of your word that brings light and gives us understanding. As we encourage one another in the word of the Lord today, Lord, receive all the glory and let your people be edified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, there are moments always of discouragement. And that's what I want to talk against and about today. I want to talk against discouragement. I want to talk about the Lord being ever present. When we start out a journey with the Lord, it says here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, are ye so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? You know, so, you know, sometimes we forget. And, you know, it's just like this exhortation this morning. You know, sometimes people forget that the Lord is the one that has brought you this far. And he's not going to leave you alone. You know, and then when we started out with the Lord, then we tried to get things, you know, by our own strength. And it's not going to work. Several months ago, I think I did the story, you know, of King Asa of, you know, Judah. And he started out with the Lord. And everything about him was really good. I mean, he cut down the groves. He cut down everything. And the Lord helped him, gave him victories against Egyptians, gave him victory against multitudes that were much, much larger than his own army. You know, but then at some point in time, you know, he turned away his eyes from the Lord and began to seek to the help of man. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Lord that has brought you thus far. And it is the Lord that's also going to take you all the way. You know, and God wasn't happy with, you know, King Asa at that time. You know, prophet of the Lord came to him and, you know, reminded him that, look, is it not the Lord, you know, that did all these things for you before? Why now are you turned away from the Lord to seek the help of man? You know, and unfortunately, instead of him, you know, repenting and so forth, he actually got angry. And it was not a good thing, you know. It was not a good thing and so forth, you know. So, but we know that when we start out with the Lord, we must also continue with the Lord. And you can't, you know, get somewhere and then give up and forget all that the Lord has done, you know. It's like the children of Israel. Many times, I know last Saturday when we did the review of your favorite lessons, the one that, you know, my wife talked about was the Red Sea moment. And in that story, the children of Israel forgot the high hand of the Lord, how he brought them out with a high hand. They forgot that the Lord is the one that's brought them out thus far. That the one that, you know, their enemies would not let them go. But because of all the incredible things that the Lord did and the judgments that he brought against the, you know, the land of Egypt, eventually the Lord brought them out with a high hand. But they forgot. They forgot. Every part of their journey, they forgot. They forgot when they got to the Red Sea, how the Lord brought them through. And even after the Red Sea, can you imagine? After the Lord even brought them through the Red Sea, then they forgot again. People always seem to forget that the Lord's the one that's brought them this far. You know, in Exodus chapter 15, after the Red Sea, they came out, they couldn't find any water anywhere. You know, and then they grumbled and murmured. And as if that was not enough, in their hearts, they wanted to turn back to Egypt. You know, they said, well, it was better for us to be there. Was it really better for them to have been there? I mean, these were people who, after 400 years, you know, of, you know, being in a strange land and people tormenting them and so forth, finally began to cry out to the Lord. And when the Lord would deliver them, then they soon quickly forgot. And not only did they murmur that there was no water, of course, you know, when they found water, it was bitter. And they forgot that the Lord can even turn the bitter waters to sweetness. I mean, there are always, you know, many steps behind the Lord instead of lockstep with the Lord. Or the Lord is taking you somewhere, you need to be lockstep with him. Don't forget that he's the one that brought you thus far on this journey. And don't switch and try to now take things into your hands. Or even completely forget the Lord. Now, there are many stories in the Bible, but I don't want to speak for too long today, but I want us to consider, you know, these things, the reason why people do this. Why? What is it in our minds that makes us to forget that it is the Lord that has brought us thus far? You know, even finances, marriage, children, every sphere of our lives. You know, sometimes in our finances, I mean, we forget that it is the Lord that has brought us thus far. And then when we begin to make it, then we forget again that it's the Lord that brought us thus far. And that's why the Lord would remind them from time to time, like in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 8, the Lord will remind them that, look, these are the things, you know, that the Lord has done for you. And it is good for you to remember. Remember that it's the Lord, you know, that can give you this power. Praise the Lord. When you are coming to the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 18 and 8. You know, he said, I mean, where am I reading? I got the wrong verse here. When the, you know, you will remember the Lord. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. I said it backwards. Deuteronomy 8 and 18. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And if it shall be, if thou at all forget the Lord thy God, and then walk after other gods, and seek the help of man instead of the help of the Lord, and do all these things, he said, well, I testify unto you this day that ye shall surely perish. Now, that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Now, let us remember. You know, why does the Lord, you know, tell us to remember? Well, because our minds are prone to forgetting the goodness of the Lord. And that's what I want to remind us of today. Remember the good hand of the Lord that was with you. I mean, how many of us have the Lord, I mean, has the Lord been good to in healing us of different sicknesses and diseases at different times in our life? And now you're faced with something else. How many times has the Lord delivered you from a tough bind? And now you are faced with something else. I mean, how many times has the Lord answered you and pulled you out of something that you thought, you know, you couldn't even, I mean, you had no solution. And the Lord has done it. But yet there is one situation that you are facing now. Well, remember, the Lord is the one that has brought you thus far. And he is the one that is going to take you all the way. What does all the way mean for you? Well, for each of us, we have to discover that for ourselves. You know, all the way. There may be a particular journey that we are on, you know, and we've started that journey with the Lord. Now, how far have we gotten in that journey? I don't know. Everybody's journey is unique. But, you know, along the journey, it is the Lord that has gotten you to where you are. And then the rest of the journey that is still ahead, isn't it also the Lord that will get you to the rest of it? Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 46 and verse 9, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. And verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. You know, so the Lord oftentimes, there are times he tells us, don't worry about the past. I'm going to do new things. And then occasionally he will call our attention even to the past so that you don't forget. Like in this case, he's calling their attention. Look, don't forget that the Lord have brought you this far. When you start out anything with the Lord, you know, you must also continue and stay with the Lord. Now, the people, Jesus made a lot of statements in that regard. I mean, he said things like, you know, in the book of Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, he was talking, you know, talking about all the things that will happen in the end and so forth. But he made this statement in the middle of all of that and said that, look, he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, let me rephrase that statement a different way and say, he that continues with the Lord unto the end, the same shall get the reward. You know, so we start out with the Lord. And then, you know, somewhere along the way, either we get frustrated, we get discouraged, or we allow unbelief to set in and or whatever. You know, there are many exhortations in the Bible for us to remember and put these things in front of our eyes so that we don't forget the things that the Lord has done. The reason why people run to help from unbelievers, run to help for the world, for help from here and there is because we've forgotten how that the Lord is our help. challenges of life will get people there sometimes, get people to the situation where they forget. But my exhortation to everyone in the room today, that's currently here or listening later on, is that you remember that it is the Lord, you know, that has brought you thus far. The Lord is the one that will also take you all the way. Now, your journey maybe, you know, perhaps a little bit crooked at times, and it's not often all straight and everything, but, you know, nevertheless, whatever it is, the Lord will get you there. He'll get you through the ups and downs. You know, he'll get you through the valleys. He'll get you through, you know, across the mountains and the hills, you know, and everywhere. When a journey and the road is crooked or rough, he'll get you through it. You know, when the road is difficult, he'll get you through it. And as a matter of fact, you know, when the Lord said, you know, in Romans 8 and 28, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called. Well, the reason, it's not the good things that need to work together for good. Those are already good. It's the bad things. You know, the bad things. Because the good things are already good, but they need to be working together for good for. The good things are already good. But the bad things, the things that we thought, wow, you know, there is no way out, there is no help, and etc. You know, those things, well, along with the good things as well, but mostly those bad things that we think there's no way out, you know, and this is bad and stuff. Well, those very things, the Lord make them walk together for our good. So always remember it. Remember that the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, you wonder why, you know, such a simplistic exhortation this morning? Well, yeah, because the Lord said, well, someone needs to hear it, you know, and you need to know that the Lord is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And wherever you are in the journey, he will also, I mean, he's the one that took you thus far, and he's the one that's going to take us there as well. We consider even our journey of faith, our entire life, as we wait for the coming of the Lord. I mean, you know, when you were in darkness and you knew nothing about the Lord, it was his love and his grace that found you, and the Lord has been with you. And now, all of a sudden, we begin to think, well, I'm not going to make it. Because now we think we're going to make it by, you know, our own strength. But that's not the way it works. The same God that started with you, he will be the one that will take you through. You know, so God called us out of darkness. He brought us into his marvelous light. And what were the things that we had to go through in the early years? Think about it. I mean, some of us have been through quite a lot that the Lord has pulled us out from. Well, you're facing one more thing now. Can the Lord pull you out of even this one? You know, it is an interesting thing to see how that people quickly forget, you know, quickly forget when the Lord was with Asa at the beginning. You know, he did all kinds of good things. You know, it's a story that we should look at and remember. You know, look at it and see all the things that he did. In 2 Chronicles 15, for instance, you can read some of his stories. He was perfect at first in all his ways, cut down all the groves, had peace, even deposed his mother, you know, who was queen mother. He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol. And Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, burnt it, and so forth. You know, took, you know, cut down a lot of things, commanded the people to serve the Lord, and they did. You know, and when they had challenges, you know, when their armies came out against them, you know, the Lord helped him. He cried out unto the Lord, and of course, the Lord helped him. You know, but later on, I mean, of course, and that was the story against the Egyptians that came out against him. They were a huge host, and the Lubins, we're told, came out against him. And the Lord gave him victory. But then, at some point, you know, he felt that he needed to reach out and get help from someone else when he faced another additional situations. You know, so I want to read a portion of that story to us today. How that quickly people forget, you know, that it is the Lord that has brought them thus far. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, in the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out and come in. So, now, what is Asa going to do in the face of this thing? Well, if you read the previous chapter, the Lord helped him against Egyptians and so on. But what's he going to do here? He's going to take silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord, and he's going to send it to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, you know, to help him. And he said, there is a league between me and you, as there was between my father and thy father. Now behold the silver and the gold that I've sent you. Break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. You know, so he's seeking help from Ben-Hadad rather than from the Lord. But the Lord that gave him rest before, the Lord gave him all kinds of things. Now, at that time, God sent a man called Hanani. He came to the king and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God. I'm reading 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. You know, he said, was not the king of, were not the Ethiopians and the Lumins a huge host? You know, that, you know, the Lord delivered you, your hands from them. It was Ethiopians. I said Egyptians at first. Ethiopians. He said, well, there are chariots, not very, very many. Did the Lord not deliver you even at that time because you relied upon the Lord? And he said, no. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself be stronger on the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. Now, he said, but this time around, you forgot that it was God that brought you this far. And now you have done foolishly, told him. You know, in that you have now sought to the help of man instead of seeking to the help of the Lord. And from this time forth, you will have wars. Now, of course, Asa at this point in time was already arrogant and proud. And instead of him repenting, he got angry, you know, and threw the guy in prison and so on and so forth and began to oppress his people. Now, this was a man who started out very well. He started out very well, took away the altars of strange gods, took away their high places, he break down images, he cut down groves, commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to do the law and the commandment, you know. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah, the high places, the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. Because he sought the Lord in those days, you know. And he even said with his own mouth, so it's his own declaration. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 14. He said, look, he said, let us build cities and make walls and so forth while the land is quiet before us. Because we have sought the Lord, our God, and we have sought him. Therefore has he given us rest on every side. And they sought the Lord, you know, and they did great things. But then, and when the Ethiopian host with 1 million people, we're told, 1,300, you know, so 1,300,000 chariots came against him. You know, Asa went out against him, and let's see how Asa prayed at the first. When they set their battle array, this is 2 Chronicles 14, they set their battle array, you know, at Marasha. And Asa said to the Lord, he said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee. And in thy name, hallelujah, we go against this multitude. See how again he used the name of the Lord. Yes, it's in your name. And you put him out there, you put the name of the Lord, you know, out there like that. And God must stand up to defend his name. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah. That's 2 Chronicles 14, you know, and verse 12. And they fled before him, even though they were, you know, many, many, many more, you know, with him. I mean, let's look at the numbers that went in this battle. The Ethiopians had 1,300,000, but Asa had 280,000. You can see that in verse 8 of 2 Chronicles 14. You know, he had 280,000, but they were men of valor. But he went out with 280,000 against 1,300,000. I mean, my goodness, that is the, I mean, more than, you know, I mean, four times his own size, you know, and so forth like that. But yet, the Lord gave him the victory. But it comes later on a stage in his life and he forgot. He forgot all of that. And then he sought to the help of man instead of the Lord. Remember, it is the Lord that has brought you thus far. And the thing that the Lord doesn't like, hates, actually, doesn't like, is too weak a word. The thing that God hates is when his people turn their hearts away from him and put their dependency on anything else other than the Lord. You know, he said, thou shalt find nothing after the Lord. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14. The Lord doesn't want our heart to go after anything else. When things are good, you rejoice. When things are bad, you turn to the Lord. That's it. He doesn't want anything at any time to draw our hearts away. And when we need help, he doesn't want us to go elsewhere. He said, the Lord is a very present help in the time of trouble. He is present. Well, can we remember that every time, you know, and not sometimes? Here's how the psalmist put it in Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. We will do well to remember that, saith the Lord. Ye will do well to remember that. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and so forth. And though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, well, we still will not fear. We will have confidence in the Lord. Now, when we begin in the Spirit, let us also continue in the Spirit. You know, I mean, Abraham was a man, you know, that believed the Lord in the Spirit, but after some time, you know, and I believe Sarah herself also was believing. They were all believing, they were both believing together. But at some point, you know, Sarah looked at the, you know, her body and said, look, I don't know about this thing, you know, this long wait from the Lord, I'm getting old. I mean, he sees it with me after the manner of women. I don't think I'll have pleasure again, you know, and do these things. You know, here's my maid going on to her. Now, at that point, Abraham should have put the brakes on. I said, no, the Lord said such and such, you know. And I often wondered why Abraham didn't do that. But, you know, then I remember that, well, you know, or I thought, well, maybe the wife were constantly nagging him and so forth and just being difficult and everything. You know, and he eventually yielded, but that was not a good thing. You know, you started out believing the word of the Lord, the promise that God gave. Stay with the program. You know, and of course, we have all this trouble between Israel and the Arabs till this day. You know, because of that one slip up. You know, when you start out with the Lord, stay right there no matter what. You know, don't give an inch. Don't turn away from the Lord and seek man's help either. It's not going to work. Don't try to take matters into your hand. You know, arrange. You know, in this case, you know, Sarah wanted to arrange, you know, the childbirth a different way. That's not what God promised. God promised it to you, and then you will have it the way He promised it. You know, say, well, you go unto my maid and maybe I'll have children by her. That's not your children. You know, so that didn't work. That's not how God wanted it. You know, the same is true for every situation we face in our lives today. You know, faced in health crisis and so forth, faced with situation with your children. You know, I mean, you called upon the Lord. The Lord's answered you multiple times. Why would you not forget? You know, and maybe the same child that you called the Lord, called over them the name of the Lord, and they were good. Maybe now they've gone, you know, away. And then you're going to, you know, I mean, whom are you going to seek help from other than the Lord? The Lord is the one that knows how to bring them back. I mean, I can go on and on all of the, you know, all of the things that, you know, we may face today or we may be facing, and how that we must remember that the Lord is the one that brought us thus far. I can't say that enough because that's the word that the Lord wanted me to say today. That's why I keep saying it. He brought you this far, and it's going to take you all the way. He didn't bring you here just to dump you in the middle. You know, like He said, let's cross over to the other side. And then you're going to perish in the middle of the sea. That's not what God said. He'll take you there. His word will sustain itself. The word of promise that came will sustain itself. Always remember the word of promise. One time the Lord said to me, He said, you know, when you are in the dark, remember what I told you in the light. And I said, what in the world does that mean? You know, and I started to research it. Well, this is the way it works. There are times when things are good and we are in the light and the voice of God is, you know, by hearing Him clearly and everything is good. And miracles are happening and things are moving. You know, that's when you are in the light. That's the day of prosperity for you, which the scripture says, rejoice in that day. And then all of a sudden you drop down here and there are moments, you know, when it seems as if, well, you, there's no way in the world, it's your Red Sea moment. There's no way in the world you can get through that. The voice of God is nowhere to be found. You know, you cried unto the Lord, He's not hearing. Or at least it looks like He's not hearing. Because He's not answering, you know, and then you say, well, then what do you do next? Well, you got to take matters into your hands then. You know, there's another story here in the story of Saul. You know, when Saul, when the children of Israel, you know, said that they wanted a king. And God said, well, you know, it's me they have rejected. Saul wasn't happy about it. Samuel wasn't happy about it, but the Lord said, don't worry about it. Go ahead and, you know, and give them a king, like they said. And, well, the Lord regretted that later on because the Lord said, Samuel gave Saul an instruction. And, you know, he doesn't do it. He said, well, it's been a long time. We're waiting for this Saul. Samuel, we can't see him. So bring me forth here and Haifa and bring me a, you know, lamb and so forth. And he's going to take, you know, matters into his hands and he's going to, do, sacrifice like the, you know, the role of the priest, which wasn't for him to do. And then, you know, when Samuel will come to pass, I mean, when Samuel will come back and he say, well, you know, what is this that you have done? He said, well, you know, I waited for you to come at the appointed time, but because you didn't come, you know, therefore I did this thing. You know, I said, well, he didn't come. And Samuel said to him, you know, you started out with the Lord. You know, the Lord told you a few things and gave you a heart. You know, I was after the Lord initially, but now, you know, you've turned into another thing. So, you know, because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord and you have done that which the Lord said for you to not do. I mean, this is not the thing that God called you to be. He called you to be king, not prophet, not priest, and so forth. You know, you can read that story in First Samuel chapter 13. You know, when Samuel, he said, Saul tarried 7 days, verse 8, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not, you know, and all the people began to scatter from him. So Saul said, Saul wasn't going to wait. You know, he was not going to wait. Now he said, well, bring me forth a burnt offering and peace offerings. And he made sacrifice in the place, in the office of the priest, which he wasn't. And, you know, as soon as he was done doing all those things, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And verse 11, 1 Kings 13. And Samuel said, what is this that thou hast done? Well, and Saul said, well, because I saw that the people were scattering from me, and you did not come within the days appointed. And that the Philistines also were gathering themselves against me at Michmash. And then they were, because of that, I said, well, you know, I better do something. You know, so he said, and I forced myself, therefore, listen to that. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering. You know, sometimes people force themselves to do the wrong things, you know, because they just needed to wait just a little longer. Now, Saul could have waited just a little longer. And Samuel would have come, but he forced himself. He said, well, you know, I'm going to just do this thing now. You know, that's not the way that the Lord said it. Now, when he forced himself like that, what did Samuel say unto him? Samuel said, you know, you have done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now, your kingdom shall not continue. I mean, my goodness. Did you know that, you know, there were two things that Samuel did that absolutely got the kingdom rent from him? This was one of them. You know, the other one was when the Lord told him to absolutely destroy all the Amalekites and everything. And he didn't do it. He saved, you know, he said, well, you know, I've come down the commandment of the Lord. The Lord said, no, you know, you didn't do everything I said you should do. Now, in this case, though, Samuel says to him, your kingdom shall not continue because he chose not to wait for the Lord. The Lord, he started with the Lord. Remember, at first, you know, when the Lord called him and appointed him, he even started to prophesy. And people say, wow. Is Saul also among the prophets? And the Lord changed his heart, gave him a new heart, and put the Spirit of the Lord upon him, and he was doing well. And he began to obey the commandment of the Lord. You know, Samuel was his guide, and he was doing. He started with the Lord. But one time he got impatient and decided to take matters into his own hands. And wow, the Lord said, well, because of this thing that you have done, which is foolish, you're going to lose everything. The kingdom will now be taken from you, and the Lord's going to give it to a man after his own heart. Now, that's a dangerous place to be. So when we start out with the Lord, stay with the Lord. Remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that did these other things in the past, and he will do this one as well. Remember also the old things which he has done, and consider that even now, these things that you face, the Lord will do them as well. And don't step outside the guardrails. Guardrails are the word of God. Stay right there, you know. And it's usually when something is right around the corner, you know, that's when people break. You know, Samuel was just a little bit late. Saul could have waited. And because he didn't wait and took matters into his hands, he lost the kingdom. My goodness. He could have just waited. It's the story I told you of Exodus 15. And these people were grumbling and so forth. Right around the corner, the Bible says that God had prepared, you know, I mean, it was just right around the corner that God had prepared many things for them. But they grumbled. And it was just right around the corner. They had prepared, you know, oases, date palms, and everything. But they were thinking in their hearts, well, we need to go back to Egypt because, you know, we don't know what the Lord is doing here. And this was the same God that brought you out. Now, all of a sudden, they don't know what the Lord is doing. You know, but the Bible says that when they came to Elim, he had 12 wells of water prepared and 70 palm trees just around the corner when they were grumbling. It was right there. You know, same thing, you know, on and on, these people, they always forgot. One time it was only 40 days removed from the time that Moses went to seek the Lord. And they said, look, this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. I mean, he's been gone now forever, it seemed to them. And they said, well, get up, make us gods and so forth that we go before us. You know, my goodness. You know, and this man, Aaron, you can read that story in Exodus 32. This man, Aaron, he should have, you know, stood against all those things, but he didn't. You know, there was wickedness even in the heart of this Aaron. Yeah, you know, he went along with them and he made them all to sin. And he made a golden calf. Just because Moses was gone, just for 40 days, the God that brought them out, now all of a sudden they forgot. They forgot that God is the one that brought you thus far, and he will not leave you. He will be with you. Of course, the problem with them was they should have sought to the Lord to hear from the Lord themselves. They wouldn't do it when God invited them to hear his voice and obey his voice and be a kingdom of priests. They said, we can't. We can't hear his voice. So now they're not used to hearing the voice. It's only this medium called Moses that we hear for them. And now he's gone. So now where are they going to hear from God? They have no more, you know, there's no way they thought in their heart. Because now the man that will speak to us from God is gone. So make us gods. Now remember, when you sidestep the ways of God and do other things to replace God, he brings swift judgment. And God never likes it. You know, this same Esau, the story that we were telling, you know, towards the end of his age, toward the end of his life, the Bible says that, well, he was sick with a grievous sickness in his, in his feet. But during that sickness, instead of him seeking to the Lord, he didn't. And in the past, he did seek to the Lord. But this time around, he didn't. You know, he sought to the physicians. And the Lord said, wow, you know. And of course, he died of that sickness. You know, so the Lord is a jealous God. He wants to be our source that we look to. He wants to be our provider. You know, and he wants to be your soul source and your soul provider, not a little bit from the Lord and a little bit from here, mixed up everything. No, you know, even if the Lord would show you something else to reach out to and use to get some help, it'll be from the Lord. Don't take matters to your hands. The Lord might show you, you know, when you have bitter waters, he might show you a tree, a brush, something, some leaves to cast into the water to make it sweet. He can show you that. He's the Lord. But it will be something he showed you. He won't take it into your hands. So that's our exhortation today. Remember that the Lord is the one that has brought you thus far. And in this journey, how much of it remains, we don't know. You know, you might be facing, or a family member may be facing some illness, you know, and so forth. Well, we don't know how long, but I can tell you this. According to Proverbs 23 and verse 18, there is a promise that the Lord gives us here. And he says, for surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off. So don't sidestep the Lord. The psalmist said, look, in Psalm 40, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, you know, that's something that sometimes is very difficult to do. You know, just to wait patiently for the Lord. But he said, Lord, the Lord inclined unto me and he heard my cry. He brought me also out of an horrible pit. Now, what is the horrible pit that you're in right now? What is the miry clay that you're in? Well, you know, will you trust the Lord? Praise God. Remember all the times, you know, that the Lord has done these things for you. I mean, the psalmist was always, this young man, he was always like that. He always remembered. He said, look, I remember the days when I kept my father's sheep, you know, and a lion came against the flock and took one of the little kids and, you know, and I went after him, you know, and the Lord delivered him into my hand and I slew him and got my kid back. And he said, look, I also remember another time a bear came against the flock and took something that belonged to me. And I also went after him. I mean, he always called to remembrance the things that the Lord had already done. He said, look, the Lord that delivered, you know, the lion and so forth to my hand, delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the hand of the bear and so forth. He remembered. He said, well, the same God will deliver me out of the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine, even as it is this day. And the Lord did it. See, he did not forget the victory over the lion. He did not forget the victory over the bear. Now that he's facing Goliath, he would call to remembrance, you know, those things. And that's how he encouraged himself for the present conflict. Hallelujah. And he would always remember the Lord. I will remember the Lord. He said, praise God. You know, in all the things that the Lord had done for him. Ah, will you remember the Lord today? And not take things into your hands and let the Lord, you know, do the great things again for you. Let's read, you know, I'm going to wrap this exhortation up, you know, by just reading something from, the psalmist in Psalm 42. I mean, there's a way I always love the way that David wrote these things. I mean, David was distressed many times, just like the rest of us. You know, but he had a way, you know, of dealing with situations. You know, he said, look, you know, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, this is Psalm 42, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. He always remembered. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears. Now, this is David. He had a lot of sorrows. He had a lot of tears. There's a lot of things that he had to deal with. My tears have been my meat day and night. They continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, remember, my people shall never be ashamed. But you may be facing situation that may be shameful. You know, he said, when I remember these things, well, you know, I pour out my soul before me and so forth. You know, he said, look, I even went to the house of God with others. When they were shouting the victory and praising the Lord, I praised the Lord with them. You know, I kept holy day with the multitude that went to the house of God. But yet in my heart, there was a burden. You know, and he said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Why shall ye praise him for the help of his countenance? You know, I mean, he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. But more so, here's what he said in verse 6. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. But what is he going to do? Therefore will I remember thee. Ha, Mashe Taralabos, from the land of Jordan, and of the Hammonites, and from the hill Milzah. I will remember the Lord, the hand of the Lord, when he gave me victories. I will remember it. You know, will you remember that the Lord is the one that brought you thus far? David always remembered. The Lord is the one that brought me thus far. So let me remember him. You know, his hands that were upon me in the land of Jordan. His hand that was upon me in the land of the Hammonites, in the hill Mizar, you know, and so forth. The deep calls unto thee. I will remember the Lord. I will say, you know, of the Lord that he's my rock and he's my fortress. He said, my enemies are reproaching me. They say unto me every day, where is thy God? And he said, well, why thou cast down within me, O my soul, you know, and so forth. You know, hope thou in God. You know, remember the words that the Lord gave us in Joel chapter 2, that the Lord said, I will restore, you know, the things that the cankerworm, the caterpillar, the palmerworm, the locust, and all these things have eaten up the years that you lost. He said, I will restore, and my people shall never be put to shame. My people will never be ashamed. He said it multiple times. You know, this is Joel chapter 2. He said it multiple times. My people shall never be ashamed. Verse 26 and verse 27. Inside those two verses back to back, he said, my people will never be ashamed twice. Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God who hath dealt wondrously with you. And don't forget it. The Lord who hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am the Lord in the midst of Israel. And I am the Lord your God and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Twice like that, back to back, he said it. You know, because there are situations that we will face like that. But the Lord, you know, he has a way that he will answer us and bring us through. Praise the Lord. So remember, the Lord is the one that has brought you thus far. And having begun in the spirit, don't try to be made perfect in the flesh. Remember all the things that the Lord has done. Remember the good hand of the Lord that was upon you. Remember the things that happened when you were in the light. Now that you may sit in darkness, remember also his word that says, my people shall never be ashamed. And Micah said, look, when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. So the Lord will indeed be a light unto you. Remember, wait for the salvation of the Lord. Hallelujah. Wait for the salvation of the Lord. We must wait for the salvation of the Lord. And encourage yourself while you are waiting. Say, well, I will wait upon the Lord. And I will call upon him. And I will wait for his salvation. And at the end, he testified. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And it brought me out of the miry clay. I put a new song in my mouth. And may the Lord grant us the patience to wait and to remember that he's the one that started. I mean, we started out with the Lord and he's the one that done these great things in the past. And we must also continue with him. So I'm going to say a quick prayer over the room today. You know, whatever you're facing today, It's not, it may look different, but it's nothing different from the Lord. He did that other thing in the past. He will do this one as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. It may be a different flavor of a challenge, you know, but the God that brought you thus far, the same God that will take you all the way. Don't you forget it. And don't be like the stiff-necked people of Israel that always forgot the good hand of the Lord that had been upon them. Don't you forget it. It's the Lord, and he will be with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people on here today. And I know that someone needed to hear that and to not take their matters into their hands, or to not forget that the Lord that's done it in the past, you know, it's the same God that will do it now. I often remind myself, you know, that, well, you know, many things that the Lord, you know, have been times that I've taken some inventory in my life of some incredible things that the Lord has done in my life. I look for some milestones and I say, well, you did that one, you did this one, you did that one, and you did this one. There's several of them, some key things in my life. You know, sometimes when I was at crossroads, and it seems as if there was no way forward, and the Lord did it. You know, one time in my life, I mean, I was always a healthy person, for the most part. Never been sick in my life until 2001. But then I had a severe sickness that almost took my life. You know, but then the Lord, he healed me and brought me out of that. Now, you know, should something else come up today? Well, I must remember that. I must remember the good hand of the Lord, you know, that was upon me in difficult times. I brought my, you know, family into this country, and it seemed like there was no way, you know, forward. But the Lord, he made a way. I remember all kinds of things, and I always call it to remembrance, to encourage myself when I'm facing something new. Remember the victories of the Lord over the past. I remember he brought you this far. Remember he'll take you all the way and draw strength from previous victories and the things the Lord has done. Draw strength from those for the present conflict. Just like the Lord that delivered you out of the hand of the lion and the paw of the bear, he also would deliver you from the hand of this Philistine as it is this day. May the Lord grant everybody an understanding. Paul said, I speak as unto wise men. Consider what I say, and the Lord grant you understanding. I pray that the Lord grant you understanding in this matter. Remember, you know, wait for the salvation of the Lord. Let's not be like Saul. Could have waited just a little longer, and Samuel would have arrived, but he took matters into his hands. And he lost the kingdom because of that. Let's not be like that. Wait for the salvation of the Lord. Wait, I say, for the salvation of the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.